The wing of Hamas says the regime was forced to end its operations before achieving its goals. Secretary General of the International Medical Charity Doctors Without Borders says that international humanitarian law is being violated in Gaza on a daily basis. And the Yemeni army says it's launched new strikes on ships belonging to Israel and its Western allies in response to the continued aggression against Palestinians. I'm Behrouz Najafi. It's good to have you with us. Israel says it's pulled most of its troops out of southern Gaza in what it said is a move to recuperate and prepare for future offensives. Three Israeli brigades left the southern city of Khan Yunis, but another one remained to prevent displaced Palestinians from returning to their homes in the north. The Israeli military says that a significant force will remain in the rest of the besieged Gaza Strip. The military wing of the Hamas movement says that Israel was forced to stop its operations before achieving its goals. The Al-Qassam brigades dismissed Israel's claims that it has destroyed resistance forces in those areas from where it's withdrawn. Qassam added that resistance forces have always surprised Israel. The Israeli military has acknowledged the death of four more of its forces during battles with Palestinian resistance fighters in Gaza. According to the IOF, the forces were killed in an ambush in the southern city of Khan Yunis. It took place when Israeli forces were patrolling the city. An Israeli commander was among those killed. Palestinian resistance movement Hamas earlier said that 14 Israeli troops were killed in two operations in the city. Four Israeli armored vehicles were also destroyed. Palestinian fighters suffered no casualties in the exchange of fire. Now, Israel says that 260 of its soldiers have been killed in Gaza since it invaded the besieged territory in late October. Now, Palestinians say that the real number is much higher. Now, Palestinians facing more deaths and destruction in Gaza as the U.S.-Israeli onslaught continues for a seventh month. The attacks have killed 38 civilians and injured scores more in just 24 hours. In Gaza City, four people were killed after an Israeli air raid targeted a residential building in the Shojaiya neighborhood. IOF soldiers also killed four Palestinians in the town of Al-Zahra in central Gaza. Since the beginning of the genocide, nearly 33,200 people have been killed. At least 7,000 people are also unaccounted for or presumed dead under the rubble. The Secretary General of the International Medical Charity Doctors Without Borders says that international humanitarian law is being violated in Gaza on a daily basis. He has described the worsening situation in hospitals across the besieged territory.
We are definitely seeing rising rates of malnutrition. We are up to the in the situation in places like the Al-Aqsa Hospital, which is in the middle area of Gaza. We're in a really critical situation where our medics there are having to choose between giving beds to trauma patients who are seeking assistance and medication and surgery for some horrendous wounds, and versus giving those beds to malnourished children. So we're absolutely seeing rapidly increasing rates of malnutrition. But firstly, there needs to be much more supply coming in, much more land crossings opened. And at the same time, that needs to, what we need to be aware of is that it's much more than counting trucks across the border. And a lot of the narrative that we have seen in terms of supply in this conflict has been oversimplified, and actually moving supplies around the Gaza Strip is critical. Being able to have medics who are qualified, fed in a mentally fit state to be able to treat patients is essential for providing humanitarian assistance. And hospitals, if I look at it from a hospital perspective, are obviously more than four walls and a roof. They're about running water, electricity, fuel, communication. And just on international humanitarian law, there are now 200 aid workers that have been killed in the Gaza Strip. There was the tragic incident from the World Central Kitchen just this week, which has brought attention to this issue. But international humanitarian law is being broken on a daily basis in the Gaza Strip.
The U.S.-Israeli genocidal war has reached a grim milestone of 6 months, and this has been one of the most grotesque and disproportionate aggressions to have taken place in modern times, both in terms of civilian casualties and destruction.
The U.S.-Israeli genocidal war has now reached the grim six-month milestone, and nothing can justify the U.S. and Israel from committing this crime of genocide. The Israel regime has committed one of the most horrific acts of genocide to have taken place in modern history, one that at the same time shows the international community's inability to prevent a genocide from happening. The genocide itself is horrific, especially the different massacres that have taken place, stirring painful memories of the brutality of the regime, like the Al-Ahli Hospital, where 500-plus were murdered, or 70-plus Palestinians evacuated then killed, 112 killed in what became known as the Flower Massacre, and the recent Al-Shifa Hospital, where 400-plus were killed. The number of Palestinian civilians murdered is testament to how a genocide is taking place, at least 33,100-plus murdered so far, with nearly 76,000 wounded. When it comes to women and children, it's over 25,000. That means 78%, almost 80% are women and children. Shocking that 14,300 children have been killed. That means 4 children killed per hour. After 6 months of this genocide, different sectors have been targeted by the Israeli regime forces, like aid workers, 203 killed in 6 months, including more than 175 UN staff, the highest number of humanitarian casualties in modern times. Then 103 press personnel, like reporters, and 685 healthcare workers, including doctors and nurses. The U.S. military assistance is far more than what the U.S. is leading the world to believe. Aside from formal U.S. announcements which meet the threshold dollar amounts, the U.S. has quietly approved 100 authorizations almost on a daily basis, mostly to include bombs like the Mark 1,000 and 2,000 pound bombs or bunker buster bombs. Now, the Gaza destruction, after 6 months, the destruction is so vast. Working from the top down, press headquarters 165, you have 227 mosques, 244 medical facilities, with 405 education centers, including universities. The total amount of structures destroyed, that came in at 157,200. Other sources put the number much higher. The regional axis of resistance has been able to inflict damage to the Israeli regime forces. In addition to the killing of the 264 regime forces, which is underreported, by the way, you have the Islamic State of Iraq to have targeted different locations in occupied Palestine, including Haifa, like its oil refinery, or the Haifa Airport, the Port of Haifa, and even Ben Gurion Airport. The battlefield, which Israel has suffered a major defeat after 6 months, is in the social media field, where majority of online posts are anti-Zionists, based on what this has occurred. It said most posts are mostly anti-Israeli, and when you take a look at the percentage of the online posts, based on this AI company and the research, a whopping 83% of the online posts are against the Israeli occupation. So that shows that online media posts are against the Israeli regime. But is there a final nail in the coffin scenario for the Israeli regime? Well, that may come in the form of its economy, which has been decimated. Israel experienced its largest GDP drop, 19.4%, almost 20%, between October and December. The credit rating agency Moody's downgraded its credit rating to negative, and investment in its tech sector is down by around 60%, with growth projected to be 1%.
Welcome back. A top military advisor to the leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution says that Israeli embassies are no longer safe following the regime's attack on the Iran embassy in Syria. Major General Yahya Rahim Safavi says that the leader has promised a slap on the face of the Israeli regime, and the resistance front is fully prepared to deliver on that promise. He said that the Zionist regime has so far closed down 27 of its embassies around the world for fear of Tehran's retaliatory attack. On Monday afternoon, Israeli warplanes bombed the consular annex of the Iranian embassy in the Syrian capital, Damascus, killing 13 people, including 7 members of the IRGC who were on an advisory mission in Syria. Iran's foreign minister, Hossein Amir Abdollahian, has traveled to Oman heading a diplomatic delegation on the first leg of a regional tour. In his first meeting, the Iranian minister met with Muhammad Abdel Salam, the senior representative of the National Salvation Government of Yemen. He praised Yemen for supporting Palestinians against Israel's genocidal war on Gaza. Amir Abdullah noted that the Israeli attack on Iran's embassy in Syria was staged by U.S.-made aircraft. He said, in addition to legal international measures, Tehran will hold the criminals accountable and punish them. Abdel Salam, for his part, expressed full solidarity with Iran and the embassy attack, and also spoke on the developments in Yemen. The Iranian foreign minister discussed cooperation on regional international issues with Omani officials as well. He will travel to Damascus on Monday. The Yemeni army says it's launched new strikes on ships belonging to Israel and its Western allies. Yahya Saria, a spokesman for the Yemeni armed forces, said that 5 military operations were performed during 72 hours. They included a Navy missile strike on a British ship and a drone attack on American military frigates in the Red Sea. 2 Israeli ships were also successfully targeted in the Indian Ocean and the Arabian Sea with a number of ballistic missiles. The Yemeni army says that such military operations will continue until the end of the aggression against Gaza. The Hezbollah resistance movement says it's shot down a modern Israeli drone over the Lebanese territory. The unmanned aerial vehicle was a Hermes 900. Israeli fighter jets targeted parts of eastern Lebanon at dawn on Sunday. They hit areas in the city of Baalbek, the Janta region, and the Bekaa Valley. According to Lebanese sources, there were no casualties. Israeli forces and Hezbollah fighters have exchanged near-daily cross-border fire since Tel Aviv launched an onslaught on Gaza last October. The Israeli military has intensified the attacks on civilians in Lebanon in recent weeks. Let's now take a look at Turkey, where police have detained dozens of protesters demanding an end to the country's trade ties with Israel. Footage has gone viral of Turkish riot police violently forcing protesters into vans in Istanbul. Turkish activists said that protesters were also tortured. In public, President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has been severely critical of Israel, even comparing Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to Adolf Hitler. Turkey, however, continues to export a whole range of products to Israel, including explosives, aircraft parts, and weapons and ammunition. On the streets, tens of thousands of Turks have been holding anti-Israel rallies during the genocide in Gaza. A large demonstration in solidarity with Gaza has been held in the Austrian capital, marking the International Goods Day. Protesters demanded immediate ceasefire in Gaza and showed solidarity with the Palestinians there as the Israeli war continues to claim more civilian lives. Dieter Weinisch reports from Vienna.
Thousands of Austrians marched under the slogan "Stop the genocide, stop the occupation" in the capital Vienna. The Palestine Committee and Palestine Solidarity Austria organized the demonstration. The march was held on Saturday, a week after house raids of Palestinian activists in the city of Linz. Police recently also interrogated protesters in other cities. International Quds Day was an aspiration for the organizers of Saturday's protest.
And all these commemoration days is to really say, wake up, we are really in the situation where people are getting killed every day and we have to stop it as soon as possible.
Organizers also criticized a 4-day visit of the President of the Austrian Parliament, Wolfgang Sobotka, to Israel this week.
Well, obviously, when looking at the last 6 months, there's been some unconditional support for Israel, obviously, and their action in the Gaza Strip, which is absolutely unacceptable.
Several speakers stressed Austrian solidarity with Palestinians in war-torn Gaza as the U.S.-Israeli genocidal war continues unabated. They said the Austrian government does not speak for them.
It's the most obvious wrongdoing that I've ever seen in my life.
The protesters called for support for Lebanon and Yemen against U.S. imperialist aggression. People from around the world joined the Vienna march.
I was born in Chile under a dictatorship and I have a lot of Palestinian friends. I am even wearing a t-shirt from a team called Palestina who was founded by Palestinian migrants several years ago. I couldn't be in peace with myself if I wasn't here demonstrating and saying and raising my voice at least.
Representatives of Jewish organizations such as Not In Our Name stressed the continued solidarity with the Palestinian struggles. Organizers said all Austrians must continue to protest against the US-Israeli genocide and their government support for it, despite the repression.
We cannot call ourselves humans, regardless of our nationalities or political views or religions, and be indifferent about what's going on nowadays in Gaza.
Thousands marched in the Austrian capital Vienna in support of the people and the resistance in Gaza as the Israeli genocide war claims more civilian lives. Despite Austria's repression, the state and the police were unable to stop the Palestine solidarity movement. Saturday's demonstration has once again shown that the support for Gaza remains strong in Austria. Dieter Reinisch from Vienna.
From Austria to South Korea, President Yoon Suk-yeol's ruling Conservative Party bracing for a backlash from a public disillusion with what liberals in the country have called Yoon's prosecutorial dictatorship. Early polling indicating that liberal opposition set to win a majority of seats in the 300-member unicameral chamber, although the race has tightened recently. Our correspondent Frank Smith has a report from Seoul.
South Koreans head to the polls on April 10th to elect a new 300-member National Assembly. Liberal campaigners suggest young swing voters will remember the failures of the current president's administration over the 2022 crowd crush tragedy.
Although 159 fellow young people lost their lives on the streets, the Yoon Suk-yeol government did not respond in any way. This resonated with young people, undisappointed and critical of the Yoon government, and I think that feeling will be expressed in this general election.
Some also blame President Yoon for an ongoing doctor strike, a lack of affordable housing, inflation, and failing to improve people's livelihoods. Yoon's approval rating recently dropped below 37%.
Campaign rhetoric has been acrimonious at times. Conservatives have red-baited the left as communist North Korean sympathizers. Meanwhile, liberals have attacked the right, labeling President Yoon Suk-yeol's administration a prosecutorial dictatorship due to the indictments of prominent liberals.
Former Justice Minister Cho Guk and his family members have been among those facing various charges. Cho launched a progressive party for these elections targeting proportional seats and appears poised to steal votes away from conservatives, say analysts.
Well, as you can see in the Coalition for the People's Power Party, the proportional representation is around 22%, whereas the coalition of the Democratic Party with Cho Guk's Rebuilding Korea Party each has 25%, which is higher than the conservative bloc.
The Democratic Party currently holds a majority in the Assembly. Surveys suggest 20 to 30-somethings who are yet undecided will determine the outcome. Frank Smith, Seoul.
And that report brings us to the end of this newscast from Tehran.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shimanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the All Compassionate, the All Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, April 7th, 2023. I'm Atefeh Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through your emails, your letters, and your messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Welcome back. This is another edition of Listeners Special, and here we've received reception reports from around the world, this time from Ronnie Hossein from Bangladesh, from Hector Fria Joffre from Chile, and from Bruce Lee from Australia. All of them are regular listeners. Ronnie, Hector, Bruce, thank you very much for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. We want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to our radio. And here we have piles of letters and emails from around the world, which I mentioned some of your names here. And later during the program, I will read these emails from Chile. Hector Fria Hofer has sent us a piece of email. From India, Siddhartha Bhattacharji has sent us a piece of email. And here we've received an email from Muhammad Akram Sial from Pakistan. Stay with us, please. I will be back with you. Well, dear listeners, spring is everywhere, and I prefer to introduce to you the historical village of Abyane in central Iran. Abyane is a historical and tourist village in Isfahan province, central Iran. Abyane village is a beautiful and unique village in terms of ancient Iranian architecture and culture, which is about 40 kilometers northwest of the city of Natanz on the hillside of Karkas Mountain. The texture of Abyane's houses belongs to the three historical periods of Seljuk, Safavid, and Qajar dynasties, recorded as one of the national monuments of Iran. Abyane's houses are built in a staircase way covered with red soil. This historical village is registered as one of the national monuments of Iran. The historic village has always been of interest to Iranian and foreign tourists. And later during the program, I will talk about Abyane more. So, for the time being, let's see what Hector Fria Hofer from Chile has said. Hector says, "Dear friends of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, I send my greetings and also a report in audio enclosed to my email confirming that I have been a listener of your radio. I would like to receive information about your country, and I certainly want to obtain a QSL card or EQSL if it would be possible. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Hector, from Chile. Thank you very much for writing to us. I know you are one of our old and regular listeners from Chile. As for your request about sending you information about our country, Iran, you can refer to our website at parstoday.ir/en, where you can find the archive of our programs about Iran, which includes cultural, touristics, etc. So please accept our electronic QSL or EQSL as confirmation to this email. We wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Welcome back. Abyane village is easily accessible both from Kashan and Isfahan. It takes about 1 hour driving from Kashan and 2 hours from Isfahan to get there. By the way, did you know what this word Abyane means? Literally, it means the region where willow trees grow. It's very interesting. Just imagine a historical village full of willow trees. Looks like tales. Such things only exist in beautiful Iran, believe me. Abyane is undoubtedly among the most unique destinations in Iran, which will definitely amaze you if you visit it. How come? Because this village has largely preserved its culture, language, architecture, costume, and traditional rituals over the years, and is also famous because of the color of its soil. Well, it has red mud brick houses. Very interesting. Due to an unusual high level of iron oxide, the soil in Abyane village has a reddish, beautiful color, which makes it even more distinguished. Well, Abyane is also known as the Red Village, for your information. I've heard that as much these soils get dampened by rain, it becomes firmer. Great! Just like the people of this village who are patient and strong against the natural disasters during history. Okay, let's see what our listener from India, Siddhartha Bhattacharji, says. Siddhartha Bhattacharji, as you may know, is one of our old and regular listeners. Siddhartha says, "Here I submit audio file of your broadcast. Hope it will be a great help for you and your technicians. Kindly send me your program schedule, sticker, stamps, and other promotional material, which is available in order to represent your radio here in India." Salam and warm greetings from Tehran, Iran, to Siddhartha Bhattacharji from India, and thank you very much for writing to us. We recently received your audio file and appreciate your effort. Siddhartha Bhattacharji from India. An electronic QSL or EQSL will soon be sent to you as confirmation to your email. Thank you again for writing to us at IRIB English Radio. We wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon, and your views are always welcome to us. So, after a short break, I will be back with you, dear listeners. And the historical village of Abyane. I think the local residents of Abyane must be very special people. I mean, these people love their father's culture and have preserved it for many years. So, they are very unique and admirable people. Good for them. Appreciative. The way people dress in Abyane is very notable. they wear a set of beautiful traditional outfits. Most women wear large white scarves with printed or embroidered red flowers, which covers their shoulders. They wear colorful dresses, and men wear traditional clothes as well, which consist of black vests and wide trousers. I think these people are so happy with this kind of living. I mean, wearing their own traditional clothes and living in such a historical environment. The local people live through agriculture, horticulture, and animal husbandry, which is done in the traditional way. Abyana women play an important role in partnering with men in economic affairs. The seven aqueducts of this village, Abyana village, are used to irrigate fields and gardens that have crops such as wheat, barley, potatoes, and various fruits such as apples, plums, pears, apricots, almonds, and walnuts. Carpet weaving is another way of earning money in Abyana village, which has become popular in recent years and has led to the establishment of about 30 carpet weaving workshops. Great. Here we've received an email from Muhammad Akram Seal from Pakistan. So let's see what Muhammad says. Dear staff at IRIB English Radio, I hope that you would be fine and me and my club friends are absolutely fit and fine. I am a listener of your service. I listen to your programs daily. I found all the programs very informative and interesting. I have a request, and that is you post me a program guide and other literature. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you and your club members and your club friends. Muhammad Akram Seal from Pakistan. Appreciations to you and your friends at your club. For this email, it's good to hear that you listen to IRIB English Radio daily and you found all the programs very informative and interesting. Thank you for that. Please accept our electronic QSL as confirmation to this email. We wish you and your club friends luck. And we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon in the future. Thank you again, Muhammad Akram Seal from Pakistan. In conclusion, Abyana village is beautiful in all four seasons of the year. In addition to spring, when the beautiful blossoming trees give life to the face of the village, and the relatively mild summers, when such weather is less common in other desert villages, do not miss the autumn of a thousand colors that make the way to the village spectacular and a pleasant experience for you. As winter approaches and the surface of the passages and the colorful houses are covered with the spectacular snowflakes, such an interesting landscape is created that amazes every tourist. Whatever I say is not enough, and I cannot describe the beauty of this historical village for you. You'd better take a tour to this special place to realize what I'm actually saying. As I always say, nowhere looks like beautiful Iran. We had a great time being together, but here we've come to the end of our today's edition of Listeners Special. But before saying goodbye to you, I just wanted to send my warm appreciations to those of you who have kindly sent us reception reports as well as emails and letters from around the world, including Roni Hossein from Bangladesh, Hector Friahofer from Chile, Bruce Lee from Australia, also Siddhartha Bhattacharjee from India and Muhammad Akram Seal from Pakistan. Please keep in touch with us at IRIB English Radio and listeners' special program. We wish you all the best. God bless you. Goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us. And try to apply them to our daily lives. How is it possible? By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من این قدم آخر نیست.
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step, brothers, not the last one.
هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين.
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth, that he may make it prevail over all religions, though the polytheists should be averse.
والذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد، موسیقی خاصی دارد، روش خاصی دارد، اینها چیزایی لازم نیست.
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones.
اما این کافی نیست.
But it's not enough.
نقیم الدین ولا تتفرقوا فیه.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن. دوری از قرآن. از قرآن.
Muslims major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran. Quran.
کتاب الله.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا أو you who believe استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar. Minbar. A lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
The
audience of IRB English Radio. Assalamu alaikum. May Allah accept your du'as and worships in the month of Ramadan. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sheikh Ja'far Ja'far.
I begin in the name of Allah, the most kind, the most merciful. It's due to that kindness and mercy that we have these opportunities where we gather in remembrance and glorification of Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that our amal are accepted inshaAllah, that our du'as are heard and our hajat are granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inshaAllah. It's hard to imagine that we've come very close to the end of this month already. We had been discussing or have been discussing du'a 44 of Sahifa. And this is the dua to welcome the month. And today I want to take one final lesson that the Imam talks about at the end of this dua. And it's a lesson that honestly we've talked about quite frequently during the month of Ramadan, but just it's kind of beautiful that the Imam mentions it again, so it kind of cements this idea. And this is the Imam says, Allahumma shhanhu bi ibadatina iyyak. That, O Allah, fill this month, make this month filled with our worship to you. وَزَيِّنْ أَوْقَاتَهُ بِطَاعَتِنَا. And adorn its times with our obedience towards you. وَعِنَّا فِي نَهَارِهِ عَلَىٰ سِيَامِهِ وَفِي لَيْلَتِي عَلَىٰ الصَّلَاةِ وَتَضَرُّعِ إِلَيْكَ. And help us during the daytime so that we can fast, and it's night time so that we can pray and beg towards you. And it continues and it talks about the need that provide us humility and all of these things, you know. The Imam alayhi salam is teaching us a valuable lesson here. And this is something that we talked about many times, but subhanAllah, it comes up quite beautifully here. That the amazing things that you and I have been able to accomplish in this month, right? And to be quite honest, there's no other way to put it, but it's quite amazing. You know, I think sometimes we just take it for granted. You know, in fact, everything that we do is from Allah, and that's what the Imam teaches us. The Imam says what? Ya Allah, give me the strength to fast in this month. Ya Allah, give me the strength to be obedient to you in this month. Ya Allah, give me the strength to pray to you at night in this month. Subhanallah, the message the Imam alayhi salam is giving us is that go to God for everything. Yeah, things that we may think that we are the ones who are accomplishing it. Remove ourselves from the equation. It's Allah who is great, not we who are great. Yeah, and so the first thing that we have to do is, number one, we have to be grateful of how great God is. And we don't even need many reminders, but sometimes reminders are beneficial. We have to appreciate and be grateful that Allah is indeed Akbar. Yeah, Akbar not in the sense that He is greater than something else, but He is too great to be even described. Yeah, that's how great He is. And if we develop that awe of God, you know, I think one of the things that has escaped us is to be in awe of God. You know, we're in awe of things that we see once in a while. If we see an eclipse, we're in awe, you know. If we see something, ice storm, we become in awe. But man, we should be in awe of Allah all the time. All the time, because He is that great. He is that beautiful, right? And so number one, we need to be grateful. And number two, on top of that, we need to learn to accept His help. You know, that we can't do anything alone. Alone, nothing. Nothing is possible. And so accept the help of Allah. And the way we accept the help of Allah is by seeking the help of Allah. Right? And so no matter what we do, even if it's very simple, say, Ya Allah, I need you right now. Right? You wake up, Ya Allah, I need you. Yeah? You get out of bed, Ya Allah, I need you. You go towards the bathroom, Ya. And it's not something you have to verbally repeat. Maybe in the beginning we do. Right? But eventually it becomes a mindset, right? And once it becomes a mindset, then you and God are never separated. You're together forever, right? And that's what we're trying to get to. Where Allah is with us, but I need to accept that God is with me. And I need to accept that I need His help. And so that's one of the points that Imam alayhi salam talks about what we are able to accomplish in this month. But more so than that, you know, what Allah is, or additionally to that, what the Imam alayhi salam is telling us is that through the help of God, God is showing us that we have the potential of doing great things outside the month of Ramadan too. right? Like we do great things in this month, fantastic things. But then it's almost like we close the chapter and say, see you next year, you know? No, it doesn't have to be. We can continue some of this momentum, not fasting, I'm not asking you to fast, yeah? But some of this momentum, we can continue outside this month. And this is what the Imam teaches us in the last part of this dua, right? The Imam says, Allahumma waj'alna fi sa'iri shuhuri wal ayyam kadhalik. Yeah? That Allah make us the same in obedience, in worship, in seeking your help for all of the months that come after this, the way I was in the month of Ramadan. Yeah? That's the dua of the Imam. Yeah? Ma ammartana waj'alna min ibadika salihin. And make us outside the month. Now his dua is outside the month of Ramadan. And he makes this dua when? At the beginning of the month of Ramadan. Subhanallah, right? To show us something very important. That the month of Ramadan's goal is to make us better believers the rest of time. Not to make us, subhanallah, great believers in the month of Ramadan. We're all great believers in the month of Ramadan. Yeah? All the dishdashes come out in the month of Ramadan. Yeah? All the topis come out in the month of Ramadan. All the tasbihs come out in the month of Ramadan. Let's continue that after. Let's externally and internally become better servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's important for us to, there's two things for us to want here, you know. If we want this change, right? And the Imam says you should want this change. But there are two things that are important. Number one, you know, we must desire the change, right? So a lot of us, you know, not a lot of us, maybe there are some of us who can't wait for the month of Ramadan to end, not because it's a bad month, but there are things that they do outside the month of Ramadan that they miss not doing in the month of Ramadan. You know what I mean? So they just say, you know what, like, I really like this month, but I can't wait to go back to what I was doing before, right? Sometimes it could be just a simple thing like a cup of coffee. I can't wait to have my cup of coffee in the morning. That's not so bad. But in the desire for that cup of chai or coffee, I'm waiting for the month to finish. That's not nice. Right? That's not nice. Some of us have bigger vices. That we're like, you know what, I can't wait, so I can just go back to it. No, you must desire for the mercy of this month to continue. Not the fasting, yeah? Like I think we get lost in the fasting a lot, you know? The fasting is a corollary of the greatness of this month. We talked about this in the first sermon, if you remember, that fasting had been ordained in this month just to make this month unique. Yeah? Because if Allah had said this month is great, but there was no difference between this month and other months, we wouldn't have accepted the greatness of this month. But Allah changed things up. He says, now don't eat or drink. And now we're like, oh, it's a great month. You know? Because our idea has changed. Right? And so similarly, we must desire for it. We must desire to continue a positive lifestyle outside the month of Ramadan. And so this requires for us to think, what can I carry forward? Right? What acts can I bring forward? And inshallah, some of these things we'll talk about during the Eid khutbah, but that's part of it. There has to be a desire. And so the rest of this week, you know what I would highly suggest, you try and do, and inshallah I'll try and do, then look at our life during the month of Ramadan and just try to see what can I carry forward from it in a doable way. Yeah? In a doable way, whether it is a little bit of Quran, a little bit of dua, a little bit of sadaqah, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, something that I say I want to carry this momentum forward. And maybe if there is something that I'm doing outside that I shouldn't be doing, then I say that, okay, I'm going to remove this because I saw that for 30 days I didn't do it. So I don't need to do it. Yeah? If you are listening to music, I know you didn't listen to it in the month of Ramadan. I know you didn't because you'd be too guilty to do it in this month. Baba, you did it for 30 days. Don't go forward. Don't start it again. Don't start it again. It's not necessary. Right? And so bring about these changes. We must desire for it. That's number one. And number two, we must plan for it. Right? We must plan for it. And so planning is one of the most beautiful things that we can do. And so we plan that how are we going to make this change? What are we going to add into our lives? And the most important thing, you know, if you live in an environment of a family, whether it's a spouse, whether it's parents, whether it's, you know, make a collective plan. You know, because if in a household you have five people going in different directions, you're not going anywhere. Yeah? But if you say, you know what, together, let's do one thing together, all of us. Yeah? This was successful for us during the month of Ramadan. Let's do this collectively. Inshallah, you will see that God will add even more barakah because you are now working as an ummah together. Because God loves those who work together. Right? So these things, inshallah, carry it forward. Let's appreciate the last few days that we have, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala add tremendous barakah in all of our lives, inshallah.
Dear listeners of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, you can follow this program entitled Minbar every day in the month of Ramadan. If you have any suggestion, you can send us your email at englishradio@irib.ir.
Love is everywhere, so much peace fills up the air. Ramadan, month of the Quran, I feel it inside me, strengthening my iman. But how I wish you'd be here with me all year around. Ramadan, 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 ya Habib. Ramadan, Ramadan, laytaka dawman qareeb, laytaka dawman qareeb.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kHz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
همه با وجود غده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم.
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor, Israel. Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all Islamic denominations have in common.
Today's crimes in Gaza have shown legitimacy of resistance front and that it must be strengthened. March 20th, 2024. The art and power of the month of Ramadan is that through the spiritual breeze of fasting, worship, invocations, and supplications, it draws a person who is not neglectful and is on the path of righteousness and servitude toward enthusiasm and effort. The events in Gaza and the massacre of more than 30,000 women, children, the elderly, and the young in front of the eyes of the so-called civilized world is a demonstration of the oppression and darkness ruling the Western world despite its claims of advocating human rights. These events have shown that the presence of the resistance front in this region is one of the most vital issues, and this front, which was born from awakened consciences in order to confront the 70 years of oppression and occupation imposed by the Zionist criminals, must continue to be strengthened day by day. The strength of the resistance caused their calculations to go wrong. It has shown that not only is the U.S. unable to dominate the region, they cannot even maintain a presence there. They have no option but to leave the region.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
It has become clear that the Zionist regime is suffering a crisis, not only in terms of protecting itself, but also in terms of coming out of the crisis. Because by entering the war in Gaza, it has become stuck in a quagmire. Regardless of whether it comes out of Gaza or not, it will have failed. Wherever it is in the region, be it in Yemen, Iraq, Syria, or Lebanon, any measure that is taken by the fighting and brave resistance forces, the Americans will attribute it to Iran. This shows that the U.S. doesn't understand the people of the region and the brave, determined youth. This miscalculation will definitely bring the U.S. to its knees. In truth, it is the resistance groups themselves who make their decisions and take action, and they are in the right. We are on the side and the supporter of whoever becomes involved in this great human Islamic jihad of principles. And with the grace of God, we will achieve our objectives.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.